preached on a message where I used the phrase "the church" quite a bit. The church, I used it in two different ways. I kind of do that, and I'm sorry. I use it as a local assembly, and I also use it in a different way, and we're going to look at that tonight. I want to look at that just in case anybody wonders why I use the church, the word, the phrase "the church" in two different ways. But also, there's some other phrases in the Bible that we need to know what they're talking about. The other phrases is, what is the bride of Christ and what is the body of Christ? Okay, so these three subjects kind of go together, as we're going to see in just a little bit. But turn with me, please, to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 18. This is where Jesus introduces the concept of his church. Matthew 16, 18. "And I say also unto thee," he's talking to Peter, "and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not Peter, but the rock that the rock of the truth that Simon Peter had just said, and he had just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the fact that he, Jesus, is the Son of God, the Christ, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I will build my church. Notice, Jesus says church there singularly. He does not say, "I will build my churches." He says, "I will build my church." Okay? So there that gives us a clue right off the bat that there's two different viewpoints to looking at the church. There are two different viewpoints. The first viewpoint is our viewpoint, and that's why I wrote down here the human viewpoint. Okay? And the human viewpoint looks a lot like this. We're in the church age. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He built his church right there during his lifetime, and it was added to on the day of Pentecost. And then we have had the church age, and we're somewhere in the last days of the church age. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a millennium. And then there's going to be the end of times and eternity happening. And this is what we see as the church age. We see local churches. Local churches. So the first definition of what is a church, it is a local assembly. The word church means ecclesia, the Greek word ekklesia, and it is a called out assembly, a called out assembly. So tonight we are called out of the world. We are gathered together. We are assembled together. This is a local church. So the first definition of what is a church, or what did Jesus mean when he said he would build his church? He would build local assemblies. Local assemblies are the current definition of the phrase of the use of what is a church. What is a church? The other current definition of where is churches located? There is a church assembled in heaven right now. There is a church assembled in heaven right now. Hebrews 12:23. Somebody read for me Hebrews 12:23.
"To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect."
Okay, so it's to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So it's talking about the saints who have already gone before us and are in heaven. There is an assembly already assembled in heaven. There is a current church, if you will, in heaven. Okay? So, but we can only see the local assemblies. We can see our local church. We can see other local churches. We don't get to see this church, although there is a current assembly in heaven. And in the future, at the end of time, there is going to be an eternal assembly of all the saints from all the ages assembled in heaven. That will be an eternal church Let's go with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This hasn't been completed yet. It's still being built. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So it's talking about when all of time has finally come to an end. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, talking about a body, a church, an assembly, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So in the future, we can see from the Bible that in the future there's going to be one single church. And it's going to be the heavenly church. After we have all either died and gone to heaven, and then the rapture has taken place, and then the tribulation when other people get saved, and the millennium when more people get saved, and the end of time, and after the final judgment, everybody who goes into heaven, into the kingdom of God, that those people, all of us, Lord willing, each and every one of us will be included. If you're saved, you will be. Each of us will be part of that eternal church. So that's the viewpoint right now from here on earth. We see a church age. We see local churches. We understand but cannot see that there is an assembled church in heaven right now. And we understand that in the future there will be one single solitary church, that's the saints of all the ages, together forever in eternity with Jesus Christ. That will be the heavenly church, and one church. Okay? So this is the human viewpoint. So that is the definition we see in the Bible of the church, all right? Now let's go to the bride of Christ. Turn with me to Revelation 21, verse 9. Revelation 21, 9. And we will go to... We're not done with the church, but we're done with the human viewpoint of the church. All right? Revelation 21, 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues. And I talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So here we are told, or it is emphasized, that the bride of Christ is the physical city of the New Jerusalem. Okay? Now go with me to Revelation 22:17. 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, because of this verse here, primarily, we can understand that the first verse, Revelation 21:9, must be taken not literally. When it says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, and then he takes John and starts describing the city of the New Jerusalem, and then we understand that later, that whatever the bride is, it speaks and says, come. Does a city, do buildings speak? Do buildings speak? No. So when it says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, and then he starts describing the city of the New Jerusalem, he must not exactly be describing the actual bride of Jesus Christ, okay? To interpret this literally does not make any good or common sense. Buildings don't say something. They don't say, come. Because the Bible always does make good common sense, when it is interpreted properly, there must be more meaning to it than that. And we will. Right here, I want to interject that the bride of Christ is something that has not happened yet. The bride of Christ has not happened yet. There has to be a marriage for there to be a bride. Now, there can be an espoused bride, and there is. There is an espoused bride, but whoever the bride is, it has not come to fruition. It is not. They are not ready. There is not a bride ready to get married. Okay, the marriage is in the future. The marriage is in the future. But the bride is not ready. So the bride is not. I'll say here, it's not complete. It's not complete. It's not an entire bride. The bride has not made herself ready. Okay? So, it can't be the buildings, because the bride says, come. The marriage of the Lamb is in the future, and so therefore, so is whatever is the bride of Christ. It's not here. It's not in the church age where we are. Okay? We're in the church age. The bride of Christ is not whole in that place, okay? We'll come back to this later when we start looking at a different viewpoint, someone else's viewpoint. So the bride of Christ, it's in the future. It hasn't happened yet. It's not located within the church age. What is the body of Christ? What is the body of Christ? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Somebody read this, some young person, this really short verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Very good. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And if you read the whole passage, it's talking about are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Okay? So in this passage, it's fairly clear that the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, are members of an assembled group of believers. In other words, they are the members of a local New Testament church. The body of Christ today, as we understand it, in the church age, the body of Christ is the members of the local New Testament church. And we can get two truths, one great truth, but the two sides of the coin is true on this truth. And this great truth that we can get from this is that it is the will of God for every believer to be a member of a local church, to be a member of a local New Testament church. It is God's will for you to be a faithful, functioning member of a local church, okay? And to not attend, and the opposite of that coin is true, to not attend a local church, say, to view it online, to view church online, or to listen to church online on the radio or on the radio or on TV and say, well, I'm a member of that church, or I go to church at home by listening on TV or listening online or listening by radio. No, I'm sorry. That's not what God said to do. God said to attend. So to not attend in person as part of an assembled local church, not be faithful to a local church, is then to be out of the will of God. It is to be out of the will of God as a Christian. If you are not faithful to, as a member to your local church, that is what God wants for every believer. Okay? We can get that from this passage, that the body of Christ is the New Testament local church. But we can also understand some more things about the body of Christ. We are His body. Why are we His body now? Because the Holy Spirit indwells us. He is supposed to live His life in me. That is why I am part of the body of Christ. Jesus is supposed to live His life through me. I'm supposed to allow Him to. And myself, you and I, we are to be crucified to the world. We are supposed to be dead to the world. And so if you and I are dead to the world and we allow the Lord Jesus to live His life through us, then we are doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do, and we are truly being a body for him to work through. So in that way, we are the body of Christ. Furthermore, as the body of Christ, we have to dwell in Jesus. We have to dwell in Jesus. In other words, just as a branch dwells or lives on the vine, we have to dwell and live with Jesus in the Word of God. We have to allow him to feed us. We must find spiritual strength and life and food from Jesus himself, from the Bible. Our spiritual life comes directly from Christ. If you are saved, your spiritual life comes directly from Jesus. And you can study that out by studying John chapter 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Okay? So, as we allow Christ to live through us, and as we crucify our flesh, we are acting as his body. Okay? That this is partially why we are called the body of Christ. So that is how we see the church today. That is where we see the bride in the future today, and that is how we see the body of Christ today. Okay? But we also can see that the body of Christ is not complete. You see, what about new believers? New believers that become added to the church, and they are added into the number of the body of Christ. They become a member of the body of Christ. You see, the body of Christ isn't complete. Christ is still building his church, his body, here on the earth. So it is fairly clear that the human viewpoint of the church, the bride, the body of Christ, all of these, the human viewpoint is incomplete. We only understand a little bit of what Jesus was trying to tell us. It does not give the full and complete picture of these three things. You see, there are questions that go unanswered if we only look at the human viewpoint. Some child could easily say, well, if the body of Christ is a local church, well, there are thousands of local churches. So how many bodies of Christ are there? Well, that's a fair question if you only look at the human viewpoint. That question does not have a very good answer if you only look at the human viewpoint. Every local church is a body of Christ. Every local church is one. So how many bodies of Christ are there? Well, there's not a good answer under the human viewpoint. There are other questions that aren't answered with the human viewpoint. What about members, church members that are moving from one church to another? So is one body losing members and another body gaining members? And how does that work? Well, there's not a good answer for that with a human viewpoint. What about the members of a church that closed down? Their church closed, their body stopped functioning. Are they no longer part of the body of Christ? And when they find a new church to go to and they join that church, then they will become part of the body of Christ again? See, there's no good answer to that under the human viewpoint. We don't see the big picture. What about brand new believers in Jesus? Brand new believers in Jesus. Are they not part of the body of Christ until they join a local church? Nobody gets saved and instantly joins a church, right? They have to go out and find a church they want to join. So until they join a local church, does that mean they are not a part of the body of Christ? And if the rapture hit, they would be somehow outside of the body, found to be outside of the body of Christ? The human viewpoint of the local church, the human view of the bride, the human view of the body of Christ cannot be all there is to the doctrines of the church, the body of Christ, and the bride of Christ. The human viewpoint is not all there is. We have to look from God's perspective, okay? There's another perspective, and that is God's perspective. we'll call it God's viewpoint, to stick with a shorter word there. I like short words. And God's view encompasses all of time. God's view encompasses when Jesus founded the church, started the church, and God's view includes eternity. You see, there's a big difference. Our view is just looking forward to eternity, and we see these things happening one thing at a time, and we see things in a laid out manner. But God's view is He sees everything all at once, as if it's happening all together. Okay, He sees Jesus founding the church while He sees the church in eternity. He sees Jesus dying on the cross and paying for the church while He sees Nathan Bond enjoying heaven. Okay? He sees all of this all at once. And God has a different view of what the church is. Okay? God's viewpoint is outside of time. The church doesn't change. It's just the view changes. God's viewpoint is outside of time. God's view is the whole scope of time from beginning to end, all at once. Therefore, He is seeing His church, His body being founded, and He is seeing it being completed at the same moment. And so when God talks about the church, you must understand that His view is different than our view. What God has explained to us that we understand today as our doctrine of the local church is within the limits of time. We understand things by the limit of time. So our view is very limited compared to the whole doctrine. It's similar to our understanding of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world compared to Jesus Christ is a member of the triune Godhead. Do you understand that idea? Does your mind grasp the fact that Jesus is a member of the Trinity? You can say, yes, I understand it. That the fact is true, but what does that mean? Wow. My mind cannot comprehend that. No man's mind can comprehend the triune Godhead. And it is similar, not totally the same, but that the idea is similar. God has given us a view from earth of what the church is, what the body of Christ is, what the bride of Christ is, but God sees it from a different viewpoint. We accept and believe what God has said about the church, but it is hard to understand everything about it from where we stand. Go back, please, to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 18 again. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the Lord is introducing His church, but He's also introducing the fact that He looks at the church differently. He has a different viewpoint than our viewpoint. How do we know that? Because of the phrase here, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Churches, many churches have closed down. We could say that the gates of hell prevailed against those churches and shut them down. If Jesus was referring only to local churches throughout the church age as with this promise, I will build my church starting in Jerusalem, and from there it'll spread out, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, then God's promise would have to have meant that no church would ever shut its doors. Satan could not prevail against any local church. And we know that's not true. Many churches have shut down. Satan has won the battle against many churches. Okay, so God looks at... So this indicates that God has a different viewpoint. He's not just talking about local churches when He says, I will build my church, singular. God's view is there is a founding and building of one eternal church. One eternal church. By the founding and the building of one eternal church by the necessary and temporary use of local churches scattered across the earth. He's fashioning one church. In his viewpoint, he's fashioning one eternal church to come home to be with him. From our viewpoint, there are a lot of local churches. And that is the only church on the earth right now. Local churches. Okay? There is not a universal church. I'm not preaching a universal church. I'm just pointing out how God views his church from his perspective. He is fashioning one eternal church by the temporary and necessary use of local churches scattered across the earth. The one church he is fashioning by many local churches is inside of time. He's fashioning the eternal church inside of time, in the church age. Okay? That one eternal church will be the assembly of all believers. That one eternal church will live forever in heaven with him. But within local churches, inside of time, God is working now, today. Each and every believer is who God is working in to fashion them to become a perfect member of heaven's assembly. God wants you to become a perfect member, ready for heaven. God is refining each of us now, and will refinish the refining. Will finish the refining. Excuse me, either at the rapture or when we die, and he will. We will no longer have a sin nature at that point. When he takes us to heaven, the refining will be done. But God is still involved inside of time right now, where we are. He's refining this church, this local church, to be ready for the time when this church joins a different church in heaven, the eternal church. You see, God sees every believer already here. God sees every believer already here. This is his viewpoint. All of it, all at once, in a split second. And he's centering, he's dwelling on this. This is the end game for the Lord, bringing us all to heaven. This idea of the local church goes into part of the idea of predestination, okay? Because God sees the beginning from the end, God knows who gets saved. And at the moment of salvation, your final destination is settled. Your final destination of heaven's assembly, heaven's church, had been determined. And by the way, it wasn't determined right then. When you got saved, your destination was not determined then. Your destination was predetermined before the foundation of the world. But when you got saved, you were sealed. You were sealed at that moment. And your destination was permanent. It was concrete. There was no way you were not going to end up here at Heaven's Church. Okay? You were sealed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's part of salvation. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. Into Christ, which is where you began to be a member of the body of Christ. You were baptized into Christ, okay? So God's view is the whole thing all at once. Our view is one step at a time. God is centering on this fact here. That's the important event to God when finally he glorifies every saint of all the ages. And he is finally he has finally put down Satan. And Satan is no longer there. And finally all of his children are at home. And every one of them is glorified. That is where God's looking forward to. Okay? Until then, we have local churches on earth. Until then, we have local churches as the body of Christ. Now, God looks at the body of Christ differently too. Okay? So his view of the church is different, but his view of the body of Christ is different. Now remember, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The body of Christ, once it gets taken to heaven, once the church gets raptured and goes to heaven, at that point it fits wonderfully into focus within the finished product of heaven's assembled church. Right now it doesn't make complete sense, because why are there hundreds and hundreds of bodies of Christ on the earth? Well, when Jesus raptures his church and it goes to heaven and becomes one church, then all those local bodies become one, the one singular body of Christ. God used all those local churches within time to fashion and build one body of Christ. Although throughout the span of time, while God built it, while time was happening, and we were alive on the earth, it didn't look like one body yet, because it wasn't finished. Not everyone who is going to be saved had gotten saved. Back when Christ, in the early centuries, you and I hadn't gotten saved. The body wasn't finished here. It's not even finished where we are. There are still people who are going to get saved and become a member of the body of Christ, being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is why every believer who gets saved can be a member, can be called a member of the body of Christ, even though he may not be a member of a local church right now. Or he may not ever be during his life. But he will be. God sees him as a member of the body of Christ, because God says, I have sealed him to be there. His final destination is concrete. He will be a member of the body of Christ, of this assembly in heaven. So even today, God looks at a believer who's not a member of a local church as a member of the body of Christ. God looks at it that way. It is, you are not a function, if you don't belong to a local church, you are not a functioning member of the body of Christ on earth. God wants you to be a member, a functioning member of a local church. But those who are not members can still be called part of the body of Christ, because they will become, when they die and go to heaven, they will become a member of this church, the body of Christ in heaven. Okay? Now, what is the bride of Christ? Why are believers given this title, the body of Christ, anyway? Well, the only reason I can see is because the church must be, by using good common sense, the church must be the bride. Not only is the church the body of Christ on earth, but it's the body of Christ in heaven by becoming the bride of Christ. You see, twain shall become one. Turn back to Revelation 22:17. Revelation 22:17. Now, I have to warn you right at this point. This is assumption, okay? This is taking the Bible and interpreting it, I believe, properly. But the Bible never says in black and white that the bride of Christ is the church. It never says that in black and white. That's why there's so many speculations of who is the bride of Christ. Is it Old Testament saints? Is it New Testament saints? Is it a mixture? Is it this or that and the other? It's because the Bible doesn't say black and white, the bride of Christ is this. The only thing that the Bible said that the bride of Christ is it's pointed to the New Jerusalem, a city. And so that will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, and it describes the New Jerusalem. Okay? So never does it say specifically the bride of Christ is the church. So I have to warn you, this is interpreting Scripture, I believe, by Scripture now, and a little bit of speculation based on Scripture. We know from Revelation 19 that Jesus, the Lamb of God, has a marriage to his bride. John then described the New Jerusalem first with the words, verse chapter 21, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the New Jerusalem, the very first verse that we have introducing the New Jerusalem, gives us metaphorical language, as a bride, not literal language. It wasn't prepared as the bride. It was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So right off the bat, when New Jerusalem is introduced, it gives us some allegorical language. It introduces an allegory, okay? Which is why I believe when John goes on in verse 9, and the angel says to him, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife," and then he describes the holy city, the New Jerusalem, he's still not describing the actual bride, because the holy city was introduced as an illustration of the bride with verse 1 of chapter, verse 2 of chapter 21. The holy city is an illustration of the bride. It's introduced with the words "as a bride." Okay? Also, so Revelation 19, Jesus has a marriage. The Lamb has a marriage. There is a bride in heaven. At least after the rapture, there is a bride. We don't know for sure. I don't know for sure when the marriage of the Lamb happens, whether it happens right around in here or whether it happens later. I'm not sure. I just know it happens, okay? I have a suspicion that it happens over here. But it could if it happens later, I'm not going to be shocked, okay? But there is a bride after the rapture. When there wasn't a bride before, there is a bride now. And so Revelation 19, Jesus is the bridegroom. He's getting married. The New Jerusalem is described in illustrative terms to illustrate a bride. And then we should go back and add to our picture here and our understanding the idea that the relationship between Christ and His church is pictured by the relationship of a husband and wife. Go to Ephesians 5:32. Ephesians 5:32. The Bible says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So the relationship of a husband and wife pictures the relationship between Christ and his church. So you add that to the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, gets married. There is a bride. The bride is illustrated by a beautiful city. But then you add to the fact that the bride speaks in Revelation 22, 19. The bride says, "Come." Go back to Revelation 22. The bride says, "Come." And then you start understanding that the bride has to be a person or persons. It has to be a someone. Okay? Notice what Jesus said in verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel," and the word angel means messenger, "to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." And in verse 17, the idea of the testimony in the churches goes on today. That idea continues with the statement, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." The only place that the Holy Spirit and the bride work together and say, "Come to Jesus today," is in the local New Testament church. And so the local New Testament church, I believe, is the bride of Christ. We can surmise that. Because Christ's bride will not be a physical city, a bunch of physical buildings, then it must be the inhabitants. It must be the inhabitants within the beautiful city of the New Jerusalem that was his bride. And the angel is describing the city, how beautiful it was, illustrating how glorious were the persons inside or going to inhabit the city, the ones that were going to go in there. Revelation 21, 24, 20, and through 26 says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the light of Jesus, within the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Why is there glory and honor among the nations? Because Jesus has given them his white robe of righteousness. They are made perfect. They are made glorious by the righteousness of Christ. And so that is why I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now, the bride is going to the bride is the church. Once everything has been completed and all of the saints of all the ages are taken to heaven, time is no longer. And those who dwell within the New Jerusalem, all those that dwell within the New Jerusalem are the bride of Christ. And he says, these things are testified in the churches. The Spirit and the bride today, if you will, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we can see, after understanding all this, that the church must be the bride of Christ. And we can also understand, finally, why the church was called the body of Christ within the church age. Because the church, who is the body of Christ, also becomes the bride of Christ. Okay? God said, God gave us a picture of this union with the union of marriage. The two shall become one. And not that there's any physical intimacy going on or anything like that, but the body of the church literally becomes the body of Christ by being his bride, and there is a union there of the two. The church as his bride is given the spiritual relationship of being together finally with Jesus, being one with Christ. And that being one means the church finally has a full, whole, complete communion with the Savior. For the first time since the founding of the church, when the church becomes the bride of Christ, the body of Christ becomes the bride of Christ, it finally, for the first time, has a full, whole, complete communion with the Savior. We do not become Christ. As we be the bride of Christ and we are the body of Christ, in no way are we becoming Christ or become God. But it means that we will enjoy a oneness or a knowledge of Christ which we could never comprehend on the earth. Man has finally, will finally, be given the ability to know the mind of God. We are made one with Christ. We will finally be able to understand and fathom the infiniteness of God's character. We can't do that now. But when we become the bride of Christ and become one with Christ, we will finally understand how great God is. We will finally understand the scope of his awesome love. Amen. We will finally understand the full measure of God's grace. What it means when you say the grace of God. We'll finally understand that for the first time. We will finally fully agree, and not only fully agree and understand, but we will also mirror the very character of God himself as his bride, as the perfected bride of Christ. And that's the best I can do to describe what being one with Jesus Christ means. We'll understand, finally, for the first time, the mind of God. We'll be able to fathom it. Not that we'll know all of his knowledge. No, I'm not saying that. But we'll be able to grasp the infiniteness of God for the first time. Like, where's the edge of space? Well, it's out there somewhere. But when we get to heaven, we'll be able to understand where the edge of God's grace goes to, where the edge of His love goes to. So becoming one with Christ is just finally, fully knowing Christ, understanding the greatness of God. It's having... We will simply enter into the closest relationship with Jesus that is possible for a created being to have with a member of the triune, thrice holy God. All sin barriers, all station barriers as a man and his God, all station barriers between a man and his God, all the sin barriers will finally be removed from that relationship, and we will be able to have a closeness with Christ that was never possible. Well, it wasn't possible with Adam and Eve. They were the creation. He was their God. But we will be His bride. We will be His bride. All station barriers are then removed from the relationship of Christ and His perfected bride, the church. So I believe to fully understand the concepts of the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, you not only have to look at it from a human viewpoint, but you have to look at it from an eternal viewpoint or God's viewpoint. What is it going to look like at the end of time when local churches are no more and local churches have been gathered together to be one church for eternity as the bride of Christ in heaven? So I hope that helps you young people especially to understand what we're talking about when we say the church. Well, we're not talking about any church right now. We're not talking about any church on the earth right now. To say there is a church that is the right church. For instance, if you wanted to say we should go to the Anglican church, well, there is no such thing to God on the earth. There is no Anglican. There isn't a group of churches known as the Anglican Church. To man, there is, but God never instituted that. That was man's institution. The Roman Catholic Church is not a church. It's not one church. It's a whole bunch of Roman Catholic churches. Okay. So to say there is a church that is God's church on earth is not a proper phrase. Even to say the Baptist Church is God's church, that's not a proper phrase. Okay, it's nothing. There is no such animal. There are churches, there are local churches today, but there is no church singular on the earth today. So if I ever say the church, I'm referring and looking forward to this point as the church here. If I say churches, well, I'm definitely talking about churches on the earth. But if I ever just use the phrase the church, I'm not preaching a universal church. I'm talking about the church here. When God has gathered us all. Or even I might even be referring it at the rapture. The church in heaven at the rapture. Either one. So I hope that helps to have the young people understand what we're talking about when we talk about the church, churches, the bride of Christ, and the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that the young people have understood this tonight. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us in the future and help them to be able to understand your word better now. In Jesus' name, amen.